Let's speak to Siobhan O'Neill. Siobhan's Professor of Mental Health Services at Ulster University. Well, that was a tough listen, and I can see some of our callers are telling us they're in tears listening to that, Siobhan.
Yeah, absolutely. It's heartbreaking, Stephen. I'm angry and upset listening to it as well. It's absolutely shameful. We see a litany of failures there and a mother who's literally at the end of her tether, and there doesn't seem to be any plan, any strategy to help this young man. And it's devastating, and it's a damning indictment of our mental health services, Stephen. But I'm so glad that you're covering this topic, because I know there are families all over Northern Ireland who've had similar experiences and have been failed by the system. So it's important that we speak about it, and that we ask people to come forward and talk about this matter.
But is that accurate, what you've just said, Siobhan? Is this indicative of what it's like when someone's trying to get mental health care? Or I'm guessing that some people get what they feel is excellent care.
In the majority of cases, Stephen, most people that come forward and access care will get really good care, and most mental health conditions are treatable. But unfortunately, there are these cases, and there are too many of them, and we don't know the numbers, but where an individual has very complex needs, where the initial medications don't work, and there are all sorts of difficulties, a situational crisis, life crisis, as well as mental health problems, and they can be very difficult to treat. And then when we have suicidal behaviour on top of that, it can be very difficult as well. And you've got to look at this from a policy perspective too. I mean, there's been a shift in the way that we treat people with mental illnesses. People are now cared for in the community, and that's the right place. That's where they'll have the best chance of recovery. But unfortunately, it means that there aren't the inpatient beds for people when they're in that crisis. Yeah. And the strategy is that people are moved back home again. And we know that for someone who's suicidal, that they're very, very vulnerable at that time.
So you've got these excellent care workers, people in the health service who they're in it because they care. They're not in it for the money. And yet, some people would argue that while you've got all of that caring profession, the system is being overwhelmed and the system can't cope with the demand. Stay there for me, Siobhan.
Sure.
Lots of calls coming in this morning about this. Fionnuala calling us from Derry. Morning, Fionnuala.
Good morning, Stephen. I've just been sitting listening to that mother, and I'm in tears. And I think it is a disgrace. And I think everyone of our politicians should be sitting, hanging their heads in shame that they are sitting in their homes taking a wage that could help that mother and that son. And I live in Derry, and we have a lot of suicide in this city, and we can understand why. And I think the health service, as much as I know the nurses and doctors do a great job on a daily basis, but their hands are tied
because we have
politicians doing nothing.
Could you feel that mother's pain?
Feel it? I am broken. I do voluntary respite for a young girl. I've been taking her for 8 years voluntary because there was nothing out there for her. And every time her parents fought to get something for her, it was a different social worker. There was no social worker. There was a different social worker. There was no social worker. And I do that voluntary. But for that poor mother, we as a society need to be doing something. We need to get out and get Stormont turned into a good B&B that it'll make money, that can go forward to help the people of Northern Ireland. And I never would ring in and comment on anything. But this, we as a country, the size of us, it's awful. Absolutely awful.
I do want this to be about the reality of that family this morning.
It is, yeah. That mother gave us all the reality. And the reality is there's nothing for her or her son.
Well, no, that's not true, because there was a psychiatrist in the house when we were doing the interview.
But that's just arrived after how long, Stephen? This poor boy has been suffering from he was 14. 14. That's the reality, Stephen.
My heart started beating quicker when she said that she's having to chase her son around the house, and as he tries to take his own life, she's stopping it constantly.
Yeah, and she used to go out to work to earn a wage.
And what is she doing? She's a
and she is out.
She's in nursing,
doing a job that is very underpaid.
Yeah, she's looking after the rest of us, and she's crying out for some help.
Well, I'm in tears here today, and I'm sure there's many a mother sitting doing the same. And I really hope that your show that has done so good for many people will help this mother today.
Well, we will try our best.
Thank you.
And we hope that those people who know what to do to help, the professionals, that they do reach out to her.
Yeah, Mike, I do too.
Fionnuala, thank you. Mike and Oma. Morning, Mike.
Hey, Stephen. Stephen, I'm remembering my own mother as I'm listening, and I listen to that poor woman and what she's going through. I'm remembering my mother because that young lad, what he's going through, because my mother and me, I was that young lad. I went through exactly all the things that he's going through. Cut my wrist, slashed my wrist, drank Brasso, drank...
No, hold on. What we need to be careful about this morning, Michael, you'll understand. No, it's fine. What we don't want doing is talking about any methodology of how someone might take their own life, because...
Okay, I understand. Okay. Sorry, Stephen.
Thank you, no problem.
I understand, but my mother went through the exact same thing. I put my mother through the exact same thing with the mental illnesses that I was suffering as a young fella around 16, 17, 18. Only what I'm remembering is back in them days, the health service, the mental health services looked after you. I was taken into hospital. In fact, I fought to get out of hospital. They wouldn't let me out. You know, they just seemed to care more back in them days compared to them stories that I'm hearing now this morning. I've been hearing them stories for the last 4 or 5 years. The compassion or something just doesn't seem to be there. It once was. Now, I don't blame the nurses or the doctors or anything like that, but it's just not the same. Back in them days, I was looked after. I was looked after long enough for me to get well.
Siobhan, is this fair?
It's certainly a common experience, and it's you know, I've heard these stories again and again and again, and I think the staff themselves are under enormous pressure, but also we have a series of policy shifts and a reduction in the number of beds and pressure on staff to release patients into the community, and then we have the issue of confidentiality that was raised as well, where staff find it difficult or they can't communicate to the carers or the people at home exactly what's happening with that person's care if they're adults. So altogether, this leads to sometimes to situations where people are in the community and they're very suicidal and they're not getting the help that they need.
What could be done specifically for that family? So they've reached out to society through the Nolan Show, and they're screaming for help. What can be done, Siobhan?
I'm not sure about that. I mean, I would need to know the details of that person's diagnosis and their treatment plan. But usually there would be a home care team that would be a strategic approach, where there'd be a number, a multidisciplinary team that would be looking after that person, and a key worker who would have maybe even daily contact with him to make sure that he's safe and that he's receiving the treatment for the mental illness, and looking at all of those things that contribute to that person's mental health and suicidal behaviour. And of course then there are various different suicide specific strategies that come into play to keep that person safe while they're receiving treatment. So there are approaches that work, but it requires a joined-up approach, and it requires teams working together with the time and the resources to meet the person's needs, and this doesn't seem to be happening in this case.
I think that young man had a home team, and the question is, look, when it's not enough, when it doesn't work, when mum is, you know, repeatedly having to save his life by stopping him taking his own life, can we not get him in somewhere? Can we not get him a secure place? And I know now he is 19 years of age. But for example, for children with mental health issues, we know that there is only one inpatient facility for children in the whole of Northern Ireland. Wayne and Warren Point. I'm shocked this morning, actually, and just look at some of the correspondence coming into the programme, of people saying you could tell this story over and over and over again. And that does shock me. I wondered, was this an isolated incident? It seems that it's not. Wayne and Warren Point, morning to you. 030-30-80-55-55 if you're picking up the phone. Morning, Wayne.
Good morning, Stephen. My heart goes out to that poor woman, but it seems to be an event quite common among the whole situation in Northern Ireland. Like, and what happens when that poor woman breaks? Now, she works in the health service.
Yeah.
And she's doing her best to help other people, and she's struggling to get help for her own son. Now, my argument is basically is we can't blame, it's hard to blame the health service and all the other services when they have no money. This all boils down to a government that we do not have. And that woman's making a perfectly good point for her son. They are still getting paid. This is affecting somebody every single day of the week. And who's going to help the people when we have politicians lining their pocket while every other poor soul suffers in this country? And she's even going to work to look after her, to look after people, and she can't even get help for her own son. How does she, that poor woman, face every day? That is absolutely horrendous, and these main politician leaders have no conscience whatsoever.
Somebody's writing to me in an email here, what's more important than mental health of our young people? An Irish Language Act. It's a joke, says Stephen. One wants it, another doesn't. The politicians need a reality check. They need to get their priorities right, says this person in email.
But see, Stephen, I'll say it before and I'll say it again. Our problem is Sinn Féin think every Protestant in Northern Ireland is a loyalist, and the DUP thinks every Catholic in Northern Ireland is Republican. When you cut somebody open, we all run red. There is no difference. We are all the same. They are there to help everybody.
Well, there is no health minister coordinating the health service at the moment because we cannot have a government. We are incapable at the moment of having a government in Northern Ireland. So again, to personalise it around that young 19-year-old man who you heard this morning and his mother, they have no government trying to improve their lives in Northern Ireland. Yeah. None of us do. So when we come up with a problem in Northern Ireland, there is nobody politically accountable. There's no one. We don't, like I keep on repeating it, we don't have a government. There's no...
Correct.
We don't have someone sitting down working out a strategy.
Yeah, but then again is, let's face it, we, the people, put them in the government and they're making us suffer while they get their money. It's time the people took them out of party. There must be a rule somewhere in the saying is we do not have to watch our loved ones suffer.
Wayne, thank you. Tony in West Belfast. Morning, Tony.
Morning, Stephen.
I'm going to try to ask you all to be quick just to get as many calls in as we can.
Well, Stephen, I tell you, I'm really amazed by yourself being actually so crazed.
I am.
At this young man's story. In fact, I would consider that this young man has one lucky thing going for him. And that's the fact that he has a strong mother who's looking after him. Suicide in Northern Ireland now is a bigger killer than the Troubles ever were. But it gets brushed under the carpet.
But here's what I'm surprised by, Tony. That young man clearly is in desperate trouble and his mother is in desperate trouble. She's on the brink of, who wouldn't be, of collapse.
Stephen, I don't understand.
So I would have thought there would have been teams moving in so that she feels like she is surrounded by care and attention and, to be quite frank, love, you know, from the system. And she's saying that she's not, that she's being left to do it on her own.
Exactly, Stephen, but I'm even more surprised at the 15, 20, 25 families who have buried the youngsters within the space of the last 6 or 7 weeks didn't get any help either. It's a fact that the help is not there. It's not being... Stephen, I know of one family in West Belfast who have buried 3 children, all to suicide. And on one of their funerals, the father took a heart attack and died. That's the thing. Stephen, I know a young couple who took their child up to the hospital, A&E, and went to inquire 2 hours after she was in A&E. And she had been let out, and they went home and found their daughter hanging from the top of their stairs. Stephen, that's reality. And it's happening daily, on a daily basis. And the ones I feel sorry for the worst is the youngsters who are in the likes of bed sets.
Tony, thank you. The Samaritans number, if you feel you need it, 116123. Lifeline number, 0808 808 8000. Michael in Derry. Morning, Michael.
Stephen, how are you? Stephen, you and I have spoke multiple times about this. I am...
And let me apologise, Michael, that we have 1.5 minutes.
Stephen, I'll go as fast as I can. Stephen, I am in bits here today. I was been in mental health care for 25 years. Having a government in the country, Stephen, has got nothing to do with it. The services aren't there. The services haven't been there for a long time. You said the word. You said one word there today, Stephen. You said it. That means everything. The word's love. I looked after my late mother. She passed away 2 years ago at the end of the month here. For 25 years, Stephen. She was an elderly, very mentally ill, disabled person. And we only, the government and not the government, these departments of works and pension, departments of health, departments of, depend on the family's love. And Stephen, people, we're only human beings. That woman is near breaking point.
She
this,
is.
You know, this young fella has to be dealt with today, Stephen. Not 3 of us talking about it at the 10 o'clock in the morning, Stephen. He's got to be dealt with today.
And I think if we just take that point, that family, you're right, they're pleading for help. And so I am saying to the system this morning, to the people at the very top, who care as much as any of the rest of you, what can we do for that mother and that young man, because they are exhausted?